Amen, amen. You know, I feel between the prayer that was prayed earlier and that song, my message has already been said, really. I could pack up and go home now, right? You know, it's a joy to be back with you. It's a joy to be at home again here at Woodvale. I missed Brian. Brian always tells me when I come through the door, welcome home. I missed him today. I honor him. I honor the legacy that he's left behind. I just felt I need to say that. Yeah. Father, as we turn to your word, I pray that you'd speak to us. I pray that we hear from you today. I pray, Father, that you'd prepare our hearts and that you would enable us to come into your presence, knowing that you are trying to speak, you are trying to communicate. Give us ears to hear, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So my message today is God on his faith wherever he finds it. And I love this theme. It's been something that's been on my heart for some time. And again, just the joy of being able to come back and to be able to speak and bring the message today on Mission Sunday. For non-Christians, God honors the weakest prayer of faith for salvation in Jesus. For believers, God honors the weakest prayer of faith for Christian purpose. We just sang about that. I love that. God honors the weakest prayer of faith for salvation. He honors the weakest prayer of faith for purpose. Let's allow God to speak to us about this today. You know, one of the remarkable things about Scripture is that God repeatedly honors faith, trust, and dependence upon him. And often in unexpected people, in unexpected places, in unexpected circumstances. And yet it continues to amaze me how God puts up with us humans. How can we be the pinnacle of creation and yet capable of such foolishness? You'd have to agree, wouldn't you? We're capable of incredible foolishness in our world. It amazes me how God puts up with me and my foolishness, my foolish ways and my foolish thoughts. When I think of the foolish ways that I have approached God and the arrogant and or incompetent ways even that I've sought him and seek him. And yet he seems that for each one of us, he patiently wades through those foolish thoughts and those foolish ways and he looks to go to the heart of something. And that is where in faith we speak out and reach out to him. He wades through that. He seeks the heart cry of every single person on this planet who in faith calls out in Jesus' name. And you've got to love that, haven't you? For Christians, for non-Christians. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." It gives me this picture that God's continually looking around throughout the earth to find, and then he sifts through our thinking and our ways and our foolishness, if you like, and he goes to the heart of those who are seeking him. Seeking him in faith. Faith for salvation, faith for purpose, faith to serve him, faith that our lives would count for something. I love that. I'm so thankful for that. You know, I've seen and heard countless stories of non-Christians coming to faith. In Nepal, in International Mission Ministries, in our church planting work, we must have interviewed over 600 Nepalis to see who would become those church planters for the 300 plus churches that were planted. 600 different stories we heard of salvation, and some of the stories would just stagger you. And some of the stories you'd hear of how God stepped in this weak faith, in this small way of somebody who had limited understanding, really, of who God was. And God honored that faith. I love that. Because he honors faith wherever he finds it. And I've also seen and heard countless stories of believers stepping out in faith, praying boldly, trusting God to move beyond their own ability. And again, my conclusion is that God honors faith wherever he finds it. The missionaries who are out on our fields today in those places that desperately need the name of the Lord Jesus declared. And some are here today, I honor you. We see that God honors the weakest prayer of faith and the strongest prayer of faith. that we would serve him and make him known. I've come to realize that my job is not to discern or judge, if you like, how other people trust God. My job is actually to get on with it for myself, to trust and obey. God's job is to strengthen, save, heal, and provide and fulfill his purposes in the lives of humans. My responsibility is faithfulness. God's responsibility is the outcome. And I'm saying that because I find myself often in this place of almost a judgment of how other people see God or respond to God and react to God in that. Not my job. My job's to ensure my faith is being built up and I'm being faithful to what God has put onto my plate. This thing called faith, described as though not seeing yet believing. You could finish the scripture, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We all know that. We've all heard that. What does that mean as it comes to us, as we apply it in this life? It wasn't just for salvation. It's for every single day of our life. It's for believing God today, that he will speak to me, that his spirit is within me, that I can hear his voice and respond to him. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. This is from the Passion Translation. Faith brings our hopes into reality. It's not, I hope it will happen and I'm not sure yet. It's no, I hope that would happen, and that's my sure hope because God has said God will provide. Faith component in those things we pray for brings the reality to the surface. Though not seeing, yet believing. The foundation needed to acquire the things that we long for. It is worth pointing out the difference between faith and presumption, and there's quite a difference there. There's a great story that I know of, and a good friend of mine, Jean-Pierre Riffler. Jean-Pierre Riffler was, and his wife, Honey, were the founders of Sherwood Cliffs Drug and Alcohol Rehabilitation Center in Coffs Harbor. There's a great story about John because he was a man of faith. And the story goes like this. John's pulled into the garage and started filling his truck up with fuel to get home and back to Sherwood Cliffs. A guy came up to him while he was filling his truck and said, oh, John, here's $20. I meant to give it to you yesterday in church. Whereby John turns around and says, praise the Lord. I didn't have enough petrol to get home and I was wondering how I was going to pay for this fuel. True story. Was that faith or was that presumption? Now, if you knew Jean-Pierre Riffler, and some do, you'd know the answer to that. Some people pray genuine faith prayers that God will meet their needs. Others use words and presume that God will meet their wants. And then they get disappointed when he doesn't. So when you pray, is there faith in your heart for the things that you pray for? It's not words. It's not just putting these words out to God. It's not that. These are the major things that people pray for. Salvation, provision, protection, healing, intimacy, and purpose. These are kind of the general top areas of things that people pray for. But when we pray for these things, does God see faith in our heart for that? In salvation, is there faith in our heart that Jesus completely paid the price for all of our sins? And that scripture, and I'm going to come back to it, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Provision. Is there faith in our heart that your daily needs will be met, your bills will be paid, you'll have your daily supply, even in our old age? Funny how we get older, we start to worry about that more than we used to. And yet God has been faithful again and again and again and again and again, never failed in meeting our needs. Protection. Many people seek God's protection, and I get it. But though sometimes I think we need a good theology of suffering and what that actually means. Healing, sickness comes to everyone. James 5 says, go to the church elders, let them pray over you, and the Lord will raise them up. He brings faith into it. Intimacy with God. Do we have faith in our heart that you can hear Holy Spirit's voice, his promptings? Do we have faith in our heart that we can respond to him when he speaks? Romans 8, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And purpose, that our lives will mean something, that your days will be profitable for Jesus' kingdom purposes. That was that prayer we prayed, that song rather we sang. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There's endless things to be believing the Lord for, and today I want to focus on the first one and the last one, salvation and purpose. For the non-Christian, the prayer of salvation. For Christians, in purpose. In Romans 10, this is our passage today, and it came out through the prayer earlier. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jews, Gentiles are all the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. You know, this is probably one of the clearest passages on salvation in the whole Bible. But at its heart, it's really a passage about faith. Simple, genuine faith placed in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, it often surprises us on how God responds to people when they declare, when they come to faith, or how God responds to people when they come to him. In Luke 18, you know, there's a great story of two guys walking into the temple. We could say there's two men walk into a bar, a pastor and a lawyer. No, it's two men walking into the temple. One's a Pharisee and one's a tax collector. One says, God, I thank you that I'm better than other people, basically is what he said. I thank you that I'm not like this guy. I look good in all my religious ways. The other guy comes in and he beats his chest and he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Which one did Jesus justify? The thief on the cross, his faith-filled appeal to Jesus was honored immediately. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus' response, today you'll be with me in paradise. And that story of that guy on the cross is used in such a variety of ways, but we got to stagger at it because he couldn't prove that his faith was real. He couldn't prove that his words were real, that he genuinely meant that. It was nothing to do with that. Jesus saw the heart. He saw faith there and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now notice that this verse does not say if you're good enough, if you attend church, if you clean up your life. It doesn't say if you come from the right side of town or if you play the religious game. It doesn't say any of that. Instead, Paul points to faith. A faith that believes in God, a faith that trusts God, and a faith that calls upon Jesus as Savior. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That verse, that phrase, it's quoted three times in Scripture and given repetition for its importance. First stated in Joel chapter 2. Peter quoted it, of course, on the day of Pentecost. And here in Romans 10, Paul is explaining salvation by faith, and he uses the same phrase. This simple scripture demonstrates that God's salvation is available for everyone. Absolutely everyone. Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, religious, irreligious, the qualifications, nothing to do with ethnicity, status, merit, but faith. And you know the good thing on this verse? It's not only limited to salvation. It's not only limited to people coming to faith in Jesus. It comes to us as well who express faith. The young person wondering if God will ever use them. The older person carrying regrets from the past, which cannot be changed. The person who feels they've wandered too far from God and can't come back to God. The believer who still struggles with doubts and fears. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord can find his strength. Perhaps the greatest miracle in this passage is its simplicity. God has not made salvation nor our walk with him dependent on our performance. It's not dependent on our achievements, our intelligence, or our background. He's made it dependent upon faith in his Son. Kind of levels everything out, doesn't it? There's a lot of things around us that kind of get in the way of all of this stuff, and they're kind of blockages to this simple message that anyone who calls in faith for him can find him. From beginning to end, God honors faith wherever he finds it, from high society in the Western world to deep in the Himalayan mountains to the deepest prison cell. God honors faith wherever he finds it. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What's the name they need to call? It's Jesus, Savior. A number of years ago, in 2003, I think it was, I was able to go to South Africa, with Carl and Carolyn on the first Impact Africa trip. And we would go to door knocking and we'd go to these buildings and it was like everyone who we knocked on their door, they'd want to talk about Jesus. And we could lead them into a simple prayer of faith, and it was unusual that somebody didn't want to talk about Jesus. We got to the end of the day and like, do we have time for one more salvation before we got to go? The hunger in the hearts of people was palatable. While we were there, we went to one of the prisons, one of the largest prisons in Johannesburg. And as we set up the sound system in the yard there, and it was for me to share my testimony, and the yard happened to be the yard with a couple of hundred of some of the worst criminals or the worst prisoners they had in the whole prison. And they were standing around the yard, and I remember setting up the speakers and the microphone so we could be heard, because it was a pretty big yard in this prison. And I thought, wow, I don't know how this is going to go, you know. And as I started to share my story there, I started to share of how I'd come to faith in Canning Vale Remand Centre. And I was speaking and I remember looking out and seeing doubt in these guys' faces. They were standing back, they were kind of checking me out. They're probably wondering, what in the world in your life has anything to do that we can relate to in ours? So I started to share my testimony. And I was looking out and thinking, I don't know how this is going to fly. And then the Lord dropped these words into my spirit. Does anyone need a Savior? So I just put it out there. Does anyone need a Savior? And I noticed that the people are starting to look up and look around. And I talk for 30 seconds and put it out again. Does anyone need a Savior? And I talk for 30 seconds. And every time I did, I noticed these guys were taking a step forward, a step closer. And a step closer. Does anyone need a Savior? I started that. They were taking notice. They were looking and they were coming forward every time I said it. Does anyone need a Savior? You know, it wasn't long before these, I don't know how many guys, more than 100, had come up and they were surrounding us, these big black African guys. And they had tears streaming down their face, and the only message I think they heard nothing of my testimony. Does anyone need a Savior? You know, it was one of the greatest ministry experiences of my life to see that. It got so intense that the guards that were watching the yard, they started to panic. They said, is there going to be a riot or what's going to happen? Well, these guys heard our visitors, so they came in and they started to break it up and send everyone back to their cells. These guys were trying to get their names to us as quick as they could before they had to leave or they were dragged away by the guards. And we're just trying to get their names to follow up with them. Does anyone need a Savior? Oh, guys. What a beautiful experience of this verse. anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember looking around and I noticed this one guy. He stood out because he was a white guy in this yard. He had tears streaming down his face. I'd been told he was a double murderer. He'd shot his wife and her lover and emptied his gun in them, and now he's in jail, and his tears streaming down his face. And God spoke to him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I could tell you story after story from Nepal of men and women, boys and girls, who have cried out to God, who have been weak in faith, poor in their understanding, yet believed something in their hearts. And they spoke it out with their mouths, and they called on the name of the Lord, and not one of them that I know has been disappointed. Not one. Because God honors the weakest prayer of faith for salvation in him. Second part of the message is for believers. God honors the weakest prayer of faith for Christian purpose. And it seems to me that God has put something in our hearts. And is this big idea of this again? We can go back one. It's all good. That if we call to him, he'll honor that prayer. If we call in faith in the same way, with our weak faith, we call to him in salvation, he'll honor that prayer. God has put something into each of our hearts to serve him. Did you know that? I hope you know that. He called us to himself in salvation, but he put something into our hearts. He put something into our soul about serving him. That's why we resonate with that song we sang. And now he's calling it out. He's calling it out. He's calling it out of each person until the day that we go to be with him. He's calling this out. I want you to serve me. I want your life to count for eternity like my son's life counted for eternity. Romans 12:3 says God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So he's given us a measure of faith. And the common interpretation here is that God has given to every believer a measure of faith necessary to serve him with our differing gifts, our capacities, our ministries, the function within the body of Christ. Question, what has God put in your heart to do? What has God put in your heart to do to serve him? What giftedness is he trying to call out? What capacity is he trying to call out? What does he put there to serve him? Now, I believe if you've got enough faith to get you saved, you've also got enough faith to activate your God-ordained ministries. Your God-ordained purpose, if you like. Even if that ability is weak, even if that faith is weak, that we could do that, God's calling it out. It should be a relief to us to know that the opposite of faith is not doubt. Doubt is normal. If you say, oh, but I've got doubts, that's normal. Not a problem to have doubts. The opposite of faith is actually unbelief, and the fruit of unbelief is disobedience. Now, that's a problem. It's not doubt. Faith is both a gift from God and developmental. We are responsible for the gift that God has put within us of faith, that measure of faith that he's put within us, we're responsible for that. But we're also responsible to develop our faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, the experience of trusting God develops confidence in his ability to be trusted. When we develop and build this experience of trusting God and seeing God faithful, it develops within us this confidence that it's not about if God will provide. It's nothing to do with that. The question now is, well, this will be interesting. How are you going to do it this time, Lord? That's what you move to when you start activating faith. When you see God faithful again and again and again. Let's circle back to Romans 10. Here's Paul, having just declared that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He then moves into this question of how. How can they call on the one they've not believed? How can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? Now, these verses can sound like a lesson on evangelism or missions, and they are. But they are also deeply relational. And they should be deeply relational to each of us. Think about your own journey. Most of us did not come to faith because an angel appeared in our bedroom. Mind you, in the Middle East, I understand, and in Iran, many times in the last few years, people have had angels and or even the Lord appear to them and speak to them. But most of us here in Australia didn't come to the Lord in that way. Most of us came because somebody came into our lives. God prompted somebody to come into our life, a parent who prayed, a friend who invited us, a pastor who preached, a Sunday school teacher, a work colleague who shared their testimony, a neighbor who lived out their faith, and you saw it. Somewhere along the line, someone became God's messenger to us in relationship. Paul is wanting us to see that God honors faith not only in those who receive the gospel, but in those who carry the gospel. When we cry out to him and say, God, just use me. Just take my life, my weakness, my frailty, my foolishness. Just use me. God hears that prayer. Paul is wanting us to see that God honors faith not only in those who receive it, but those who carry it. Someone had enough faith to speak. Someone had enough faith to go. Someone had enough faith to give. Someone had enough faith to pray. Someone had enough faith to send. And because someone stepped out in faith, we heard the message and it changed our lives, yeah? Friends, the good news of Jesus travels through relationships. God could have chosen to spread his message in a different way. He could write it in the clouds every single morning if he wanted to. He could send angels to every city or every town across this planet if he wanted to do that. Yet his chosen method is using ordinary people with a little bit of faith empowered by the Holy Spirit. Wow, that staggers me. That's his chosen method. People like you, people like me. Paul's chain here is simple and it's linked together through relationships. Somebody sent, somebody speaks, somebody hears, somebody believes, somebody calls, and someone is saved. Every link in the chain matters. When we think about missions or evangelisms or serving the Lord Jesus, it can be easy to focus on the results. How many were saved? How many responded? How many churches were planted? But God wants us focused on something much more fundamental in the process. Will someone go? Will someone speak? Will someone trust me enough to be part of the chain? The person who serves Jesus with a neighbor is exercising, who shares Jesus rather with a neighbor, is exercising faith. The missionary who moves to another country is exercising faith. The donor who gives sacrificially to support gospel work is exercising faith. The grandmother who prays for a family is exercising faith. And God honors faith wherever he finds it. There's many wonderful stories of God honoring faith. A couple that I love, and some time ago, Janet Roth, she was known as the Roth of God. She tells a story. She was at a wedding, and it was a great wedding. It was a Catholic priest in the wedding, and after this wedding, she's at the reception, and she felt the Lord speaking to her about going to the priest, the Catholic priest who conducted the wedding, and speaking to him about what he actually understood in his theology. Interesting, right? She said, no, I can't do that, Lord. I couldn't go and talk to that man. You know, he's got a position, he's got the robes, he's got all of that sort of stuff. So she went off into the toilet. She started to argue with God while she was in the toilet. And finally, in the toilet, she said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, when I go out there, you got to make the way clear. Otherwise, I'm not going to do it. So sure enough, she stepped out of the toilet, back into the reception auditorium, and the table that she was sitting at was completely filled. People had come and filled all of those seats. They'd started to shuffle around. She looked around, and sure enough, here's the priest over here, and his table was completely empty. Not only that, he called Caesar and he calls out and says, "Hey, come over here and speak to me." Sometimes we need nudging, right? Katie McCarrow, I love Katie McCarrow. She's in my church in Port Macquarie. So she's on Facebook and she sees this woman on Facebook who says, "Does anyone know where I can get an abortion?" Whoa. Now, how many would step into that space? Katie McCarrow stepped right into that space. Katie went back and she said, "Look, I don't know who you are, but I just want to tell you that that baby's precious before God." She said, "There's no judgment whatsoever, but if you'd just like to have someone to talk to, let me know." And she knew what would happen. All of the people started to jump on and criticize Katie. You know, all of the things we can imagine. Not Katie, she just stays right in there. She gets to talk to this girl. She gets to meet this girl. She decided to keep the baby. But it's a step of faith, isn't it? God, would you use me? How can I step into that? I think of Pastor Abraham, a guy I met not so long ago. He said God was prompting him to pay the restaurant bill for somebody else in the restaurant. And as he had paid that, and he just said to them, "Look, my name's Pastor Abraham. I just felt God want me to do that." This woman said, "No, can't be Pastor Abraham." She said, "Last night I had a dream that I was meeting Father Abraham." Wow. Do you believe that God will use your life to reveal Jesus to those around you? Do you pursue stepping out in faith to fulfill your Christian purpose? Are you waiting for God to give you the desire? Or should it just start with a prayer of faith? God, give me that desire. God, I know you're drawing this out of me. Let me respond to you. As I close, I want to tell a story which started as a faith prayer for salvation for vulnerable girls, and it moved to a faith prayer of provision and was answered by a faith prayer of purpose. Bear with me, it's a bit of a story. In far west Nepal, there's a group called, or a small orphanage there called Goodness of Nepal. I've been following them for a few years, and I got to know the two girls, the founders of this. We can go to that slide, thank you. Who started out, they were in Bible college, and they went on a 40-day prayer and fasting thing to see how would God use their life. The two girls on the left, in the left-hand side of the left-hand photo, how would God use our life? And they said, okay, we concluded after 40 days of prayer and fasting that God wanted us to not marry in the normal things within the culture, but to stay single and to set up a home for orphan and abandoned and desperate, vulnerable young girls in Nepal. They said, we didn't know what to do. We didn't have anything. These are some of the most vulnerable girls in Nepal. And in their words, they said, we didn't have money, we didn't have anything, but we had faith that the Lord would open a way for us. So in April 10, 2019, they started the orphanage. Now, I've been visiting the orphanage over the last few years and just checking in on them, and I've been impressed by their faith. I've been impressed by the way they do what they've been doing. There's 18 girls in the home, and every day they pray for provision just to eat, food for next week, food for today, and that's how they live. Each time I'd go, I'd give them a small gift. But I felt the Lord earlier this year speaking to me about going there again, taking some friends like Grace with me, and with the purpose of maybe supporting that work more intentionally. So we went there in March this year. These girls are extraordinary, the small girls that they're looking after. They come from desperately poor places, and they're exceptional in school. They memorize scripture. They probably know more scripture than I know in terms of memorization. And they told this story, and this was interesting. About a month prior to us coming there, they were particularly destitute. They were financially barely able to meet the basic needs of having food on the table. So one morning, 9 of the 18 girls there were praying together, and they read in 1 Kings chapter 17 where Elijah was fed by ravens. He was fed by crows. So these children started to pray, God, would you do the same for us? We need food. Would you believe, I trust you do, I pray you do, A couple of hours later, a crow turned up and dropped 90 rupees in the backyard of this little orphanage, with 90 rupees in its beak. It went away. An hour later, it came back and had dropped this half a chapati, this bread, in the backyard of the same orphanage. This prayer of faith started with a prayer of faith from these girls. Lord, how can we bring salvation to some of the most destitute and impoverished, vulnerable little girls in Nepal? How can we do that? Went to a prayer of faith for provision of this. And of course, this isn't enough food or more money to support the orphanage. But for them, it was the promise that Lord was affirming, yes, I'll provide your needs. I'll be faithful and I'll meet your prayer of faith. And then we turned up. And of course, you should see these kids. They're the cutest little kids. One of these little girls had a special prayer for each one of us, gave us a scripture and things like that. It was just amazing. And we walked away, what can we do? So Every Daughter Matters and IMM are now taking on this orphanage to continue to support them and to bring them under our umbrella for that need to be met. Amazing. God honors faith wherever he finds it. Prayers of faith for salvation, for provision, for purpose. So what are you praying for in faith today? As I close, I know there are people in your life, in your sphere of influence, who are waiting to hear of Jesus. They may not be asking theological questions. They may not be searching for a church. They may be simply waiting for a Christian friend who loves them enough to speak out. There are still people in our world who have never heard the gospel of Jesus for the very first time. We need people to step out and say, God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll give anything you want me to give. But today, give me someone to speak to about you. That's the prayer of faith that God wants to hear from us as believers. And we need people to step out and cross the oceans and go to those places where people will only hear if a Christian moves from one culture and goes to that culture and tells them. You may be the answer to Paul's question, how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Not preaching from a pulpit, not preaching with a microphone, but preaching through a conversation, a testimony, an invitation, an act of kindness, or a faithful life that points to Jesus. Maybe you're the answer to prayer for provision for a missionary. The same faith that saves us is the same faith that sends us. God honors faith of those who call on his name. He honors the faith of those who carry his name. He honors the faith of those who send. God honors faith wherever he finds it. Amen. I do encourage you to visit each of the tables out the front. I know everyone there. I've been there. They're there to speak to you. They desire to share what they're doing, to share what God has put on their hearts to do. It's a good thing. Father, as we close, we ask that you'd bless us and guide us. Now, Father, we thank you so much that we can enjoy you today, that we can enjoy this great salvation. Now, Father, we thank you that, generally speaking, we don't have to pray for provision like those little girls did. But Lord, we're so grateful for your faithfulness. We're so grateful that you honor faith wherever you find it and that you can still use a crow today and you can use us. Lord, would you strengthen our hearts that as we respond to you, that you would use our lives, you would use our influence, you'd use our resources to build your kingdom and our lives can have purpose in this way. Oh, Father, thank you so much for that. Lord, we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.